sequencing prophetic timelines from the ancient world. Oh, doesn't that sound good? Well, I hope so. This is Father Vasquez, and I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between that ancient world and the new world today, looking at life through the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, adjusted for today. This is episode number 542 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vasquez. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, as promised, we're going to fulfill that promise. As promised, we're going to be listening to the speech I gave a couple weeks ago at A New World, a conference that's taking place in Glendale. And yes, there is still one more foot of that. It is a four-part conference, and I gave the Christian perspective. And it's fascinating. I know many of you have been asking. You've been watching on the Facebook feed of that, and it kind of lacks in volume. You really have to kind of turn it up, but it's all there. It's all there. And I have and I have a commitment by Dr. Johnny Ramirez Johnson, the organizer of the, well, more than the organizer, it was his brainchild. It was his vision to have this conference. And I'll share with you what it's about if this is your first time listening. But I've got word from him that it'll be coming out shortly in video, in high-quality video. But you've been watching on Facebook, and you've been saying, I want to hear what you had to say. Well, thank you, Ken. He put it all together. He increased the volumes. You're going to get a listen to the speech in its entirety. But before going there and before talking about A New World, thank you for joining us today. And I do want to piggyback on something that we left off last week. We were talking about a small boy coming up to me. Do you remember I shared with you a young man who came up to me and asked me, why does God allow these bad things to happen? And I gave him this description about freedom, about what it means that we are not robots, but we have free will. It's interesting because last week, if you remember, we were looking at patterns. Remember, I shared with you a few numbers like 1, 3, 5, 7. What's the next number? Well, you set up a pattern. And so we talked about the holy translators in that context, about patterns that we see, about dots connecting one to the other and events and people. And I talked about this young boy who came up to me and he asked me about freedom, about free will. So I shared with you what I talked to him, that we're not robots, that we do have free will. Okay, so we do all this. We put together this podcast. We talk about the free will, and we're talking about connection, about patterns and things connecting. And then we publish. We go out there and we publish. No sooner had we published last week's that I caught up with the news. And what's the top item that they're talking on the news? Yeah, it has to do with freedom. The top item, wherever I turned, all my feeds, talking about this Saudi journalist, Jamal Khashoggi. And, you know, his disappearance in Turkey and the Turkish government, and you're listening to it. And that moment, right after our podcast, as if the ultimate dot to be connected, I couldn't check the news just before we signed off, just before we published. Anyway, it was just, I don't know, I kind of got like goosebumps because there it was, the top item on the news. We were talking about free will. Do we have that freedom? We talked about astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about the neurons in our brain and so on and so on. And there it is. The top item in the news all over on the feeds. It was on Twitter. It was on our news feeds. It was on television. It's on radio. Wherever you turned, there it was. Jamal Khashoggi, the Saudi journalist, disappeared. And the Washington Post, at that moment, was publishing his last article. And what is that article about? What the Arab world needs most is freedom. The topic of that. I mean, the connections, you know, you can't write scripts better than this. Anyway, it was just, I had to share that with you because right after the podcast went out, I go, man, couldn't we waited a couple more minutes and we would have had this ultimate dot to connect, but we connected it a week later. Hey, let me share with you what we're going to be doing today. And if this is one of your first podcasts, you don't know what we're talking about. Actually, for the last couple weeks, there has been a conference going on in Glendale, presentations by the Abrahamic faiths, namely Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And yet there's one more going on this coming Saturday. And these have all been streamed on the Facebook page. And like I said a few minutes ago, we're going to have a clearer, better presentation of it. Today, you're going to get to hear my presentation. But let me share with you what the entire object of this was. You know, in Christianity, when we recite the Nicene Creed, there is a portion of the Nicene Creed that we say, but I don't know how many of us really believe that it's something that is going to transpire. We say, who is to come with the same body to judge the living and the dead, talking about Jesus Christ. We believe that there is going to be a time, a final judgment. We believe that Jesus is coming back. Okay, so if we believe this, we are brought to task in this New World conference. Like, is that for real? Especially in the New World. Do we really think that Jesus is coming back? And let me read to you the descriptor about this conference. It says, in expectation of God's promised intervention, the prophetic words of the Abrahamic faiths describe a savior figure who will inaugurate a worldwide government of justice, peace, and love. In this series, we will focus on our hope in our salvation. What can we do to prepare ourselves for the ending of this current world order and the beginning of the new? What can we do to prepare our flawed and broken world today for a world of justice, ecological balance, and peace tomorrow? This was the invitation. This was the invitation that was thrown out to the public. It said, join us as we follow in a faithful footsteps of our Father Abraham and listen again to our prophets as they teach us how to live and act on our journey toward the promised land. And when I was first approached about doing this, those of you who know me and know the teachings of Armodoxy, you know that right away I would say no to it. Just the wording of that, just the idea doesn't work for me. But the sincerity with which they approached it and finding that there was an opportunity to get the Armodox message out there, I said, okay. And in fact, I admitted it. Let's back up. The organizer, this Dr. Johnny Ramirez Johnson, who was he had the vision for putting this together. He brought it up. He brought it up to the group and he said Father Voskin was not going to participate. So when the Q&A happened, I was called to task on it. Like, why weren't you going to do it? Why weren't you going to be talking over here? And I admitted straight out that, you know, events of the future are not in my domain. They are godly things. And I I'm fine just accepting that they are part of the bigger mystery of life. So anyway, that Q&A is also on the net. And again, that's on the Facebook page. There'll be links on our show notes today. That's on the Facebook page of the Glendale City Church. But as for my speech, well, that was different. I talked about what I believed. I talked about my convictions. I talked about a story that took place in my life. I talked about Rwanda, and I talked about the idea of preparedness, as according to gospel tradition, the story of the 10 maidens and the greatest commandment that's given to us by Jesus. So we're going to be listening to that in just a couple moments, and I thank everyone who's written about it. Yes, I do admit that the originals are a little hard to understand. You get it because you complained, because you told me, you're going to get it right now. So before we do that, we're going to take the song of the day a little bit early, and I've been looking for an opportunity to play this. This happens to be, yes, wait a minute, when I say it, don't get excited. I'm going to play you the 1812 Overture by Tchaikovsky. Yeah, relax. No, we're not going to play the whole thing. Been looking for an opportunity to play this particular version, which I happen to find in a town called San Anselmo. Yeah, that's here in California. It's a very special town for me. And we found this CD there. It's from by the Swingle Singers. Yes, you're going to hear the 1812 done all by voice. Voice only, abbreviated, of course. We'll listen to it right now and then come back and share with you my message to a New World conference that was taking place in Glendale last week. Bum, 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 bum Overture. How about that, huh? The Swingle Singers. It's off of an album that features all kinds of cool a cappella singing. I'm a big fan of a cappella singing. Actually, it was one of the first concerts that I heard. I didn't see this group called the Persuasions back in the 70s. I heard this concert on the radio and was just kind of hooked. It's interesting because I think the hook for me was that here were people that were mimicking musical instruments. And as you learn more about music, you find out that the instruments that we have are here to mimic human voice. So what is it? Is it regression? Is it evolution? Whatever the case, I hope you enjoyed it. All voices doing the 1812 Overture. And of course, you know me, I'm going to have to connect it somehow, right, with the day. Well, I couldn't. I tried to all kinds of things, like hoping that this week was the anniversary of Napoleon, the 1812 battle, what was going on, Russia and France. And then just occurred to me, you know, just play it. We don't have too many chances to just play this music for the sake of the music. And this is one that... Well, we all love the 1812 Overture. It's kind of funny that we usually here in America, we go to 4th of July events and we listen to huge orchestras play the 1812 Overture. It has nothing to do with America or American independence, but somehow there's a connection, probably because of the fireworks. Anyway, the fireworks today were all voice, and I hope you enjoyed it. There'll be a link on today's show notes, and we'll make sure that you can get access to this music. Sequencing. Prophetic Timelines from the Ancient World. That's the title that I gave my speech, and in a few minutes you'll find out why I gave that title. But as I mentioned, this is a speech that was given as part of a series of speeches, one by an imam from the Islamic faith, one by me from Christianity. Last Saturday was a rabbi, Susan Conforti, who spoke from the Jewish faith. And of course, this coming Saturday will be Dr. Johnny Ramirez Johnson, the person who had the vision to bring representatives of the three Abrahamic traditions together to talk about the second coming, to talk about hopes for salvation, each from their own perspective. But the tie-in has become so beautiful. Last week, I shared with you some of the issues that came up, especially during the question and answers. And I'm happy to say that shortly, these will be available. This entire series will be available in a quality produced video. So I'm looking forward to that. And of course, you as Next Step listeners will have immediate access to that as soon as it's available. But for right now, I'm going to share with you my presentation, again, called Sequencing, Prophetic Timelines from the Ancient World. And before my speech, actually, the passage that I selected was the story of the Ten Maidens, the parable of the Ten Maidens, which comes from Matthew chapter 25. It was read in Armenian by Deacon Vanojan and followed up by Pastor Todd from the Adventist Church. Listen.
Oh, what a privilege and a pleasure to be together. And I am in particular joy today because we have many among us that are not always here, that are special visitors that we don't like calling visitors. We would rather call you family members. So we are brothers and sisters. To begin with, we have with us Father Vasken Movsesian, and he is a member of the Armenian Orthodox Church, and of course that brings a long tradition that glorifies the name of God, and we are honored to have him here. There are a few things I must tell you about him. He has, of course, the degrees of the academic nature from the University of Southern California, an MA in Social Ethics, from Claremont School of Theology, a concentration on process theology, from the Seminary of the Holy, and I will not pronounce the word. I apologize. The Armenian Apostolic Tradition Seminary. And he, of course, also has an undergraduate, a BA with honors in psychology and religion from the University of Southern California. But these are not the words I prefer to introduce him. First, I will tell you the words from my own experience, and then I tell you the words from someone else that I will immediately reveal. You see, I first met our father, Father Vasken, through a friend, a mutual friend of ours, also Armenian. And we are at a cafe, and he's a very polite gentleman, a man of God. So I could see that he wasn't sure he should be there with me. And I introduced the agenda, and I tell him I have been dreaming for over a decade now of having an opportunity where we all, from different traditions of the Abrahamic faith, thank God for the promises of a Savior, a coming Savior. And he immediately cut me off and says, Johnny, I am not interested in this. I am interested in here and now and what we need to do. And he went on to explain. So I am not your man. So I smiled broadly and I say, precisely for what you say, you are my man. Because that is our agenda at the Glendale City Church. The promise of a Savior is not about what will happen and the Savior will do. It's about our preparation. But it's his time for the sermon. So let me tell you another story. These are the words of the Father. Jesus said to love one another. There was no exception. Movsesian told a gay radio host Kerry Harrison. There was no clause to it. Movsesian told Harrison that when he served as a priest in San Francisco in the early 1990s, he heard the confession of a young Armenian man who sought his advice before coming out, fearing his family would reject him if this is who he is. Movsesian recalled thinking, "Why am I not there with him? This is his nature. Mine is to accept." And that was my awakening. What a privilege to have you here. What an honor. But he did not came along. He came along with Susan, who asked me to introduce her as wife and as mother of the children. And also he has with us Deacon Baruhan Movsesian, who is his son, and who will be reading in Armenian for us. And before I pray, I want to highlight the cause that Father Movsesian has in his heart. It is called In His Shoes, and that is the name of the website, inhisshoes.org. It's a nonprofit faith based on the rallies. It rallies the support for those who suffer in the world through its projects and programs. You can read the detailed description in the announcement section of the bulletin, and we welcome you to donate through the website. And if you were to have any offering to present today, be sure to label it in the envelope. Deposit it in the envelope and label it In His Shoes, so it will get to its proper place.
I invite you to hear the words of the parable of Jesus in Matthew 25 in Armenian and in English.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 25, 1 through 13. Հիսուս ասավ. Այն ժամանակ երկինքի արքայությունը պիտի նմանի դաս գույսերու, որոնք իրենց լապտերները արած փեսային և հարսին ընդարաջ ելան, անոնց մեն հինքը հիմար էին, իսկ հինքը իմաստուն։ Հիմարները արին լապտերները, բայց իրենց հետ ցետ չարին, իսկ իմաստունները իրենց լապտերներուն հետ ամաններով ցետ ալարին։ Երբ եկավ պեսան և անոնք, որ պատրաստ էին, հարսնետուն մտան անոր հետ, և թուրը փակվեցավ։ Հետո մյուս գույսերն ալ եկան ու ասին. Դեր, բաց մեզի, անպատասխանեց ու ասավ, ճշմարիտ կսեմ ցեզի, թե ցեզ չեմ ճանչնար, արթուն գեցեք, որովհետև չեք գիտեր ոչ օրը և ոչ ալ ժամը։
Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." These are the words of Jesus the Christ.
Good morning.
Here to talk to you about sequencing prophetic timelines from the ancient world. And before I do, I just want to thank everybody for being out here this morning. We saw some beautiful
thunder and lightning last night, and I was saying, wow, is that going to keep people? Because, you know, here in Southern California, we get scared. A few drops, okay, I'm going to stay home. But I'm very thankful that you're here today. And I have to tell you, I am honored to be able to be here with you today to share the Christian perspective on the topic, A New World, Abrahamic Faiths, Hopes of Salvation, for Salvation. But also to bring to you a different perspective in that we come from Eastern Orthodoxy, Eastern Orthodoxy rich in symbolism, an appeal to mysticism in a manner that I think was best described by Albert Einstein himself. He said, the most beautiful and deepest experience a man can have is the sense of the mysterious. It is the underlying principle of religion as well as all serious endeavors in art and science. And to have someone as prolific as a big scientist as Einstein to share this, what we in the Eastern Orthodox tradition have known, that there is a mystery to life. You cannot explain everything. And it is in that mystery that we find really the essence of not only God, but how we are to deal with one another. And that's what I want to share with you today. And also to give you the Armenian Orthodox perspective. We are an apostolic church. We trace our lineage, so to speak. The apostles Thaddeus and Bartholomew brought Christianity to Armenia in the year 41. And I say this, I make a point of saying 41 because I was at an event where they were translating as I was going, and I said, our church has been here since 41. And the gentleman was translating into French, and he said, 1941. And I said, no. I said, 41. And he said, yes, 1941, because we're in the 21st century. He thought I was just correcting, not 2041. Anyway, 41. Thaddeus brings Christianity to Armenia, and I know you know Armenians. We love to party. We love to have kebab and all kinds of stuff. We did not do that. When he came, we flayed him. We killed him. It was a very bad experience, like all the apostles who were tortured for a belief that they had. Thaddeus, Bartholomew came to Armenia, and they were martyred there. And fortunately, the church survived underground. And one interesting thing about Armenia is that it's landlocked. Not too many influences from outside. That's good and that is bad. I want to share with you some of the good things, some of the things that weren't, that haven't changed. Mostly this morning, I am very excited that we are here as a faith community. And I want to thank Dr. Johnny Ramirez Johnson for his vision to put this together. He said it exactly right. The first time I met him, I said, I don't want to do this. But he convinced me, and that his conviction was based on the community that you have over here, this beautiful community that is so accepting and loving. I thank you for having me here, and I'm most excited that we are able to talk in a new metaphor. And that metaphor is the metaphor that we as the community of faith have. It's a welcome perspective. Because if you look at the world around you right now, what is the metaphor that we're using? We are fighting fire with fire. You've got a fire out there, let's put it out with fire. No, I don't know about you, I put out my fires with water. Amen. I take some hose and I put out the fire. Why is it that today we're talking about taking care of aggression with more aggression? Is there a different message that we can give in? Let me tell you, that's where I'm coming from. Because when you look at the Armenian church, there's absolutely no strategy, military strategy. We didn't have Air Force, but for some reason, 2,000 years later, we're sitting here praising God and understand that Christ is the center of our faith. So let me just start off with that, with giving you a real common sense, maybe, because, you know, many times I think we can blame others for the way they marginalize the religious community. But I think some of it has to do with us too. We come up with nonsense. We come up with nonsensical ideas. And by nonsense, I'm not making a judgment statement. I'm just using that word as a descriptor. Things that don't make sense. And then you want people in the 21st century to understand this and say, listen to this nonsense. So what I want to share with you is some pages of history. Armenian Church. 301, we become the first state that accepts Christianity. And thank you. And I want to share with you this morning a personal quest that I was on. How can we as Armenians justify belief in this God when it seems like he's let us down all the time? Where is he? Where is this God? It's the classic problem of evil. He's a powerful God. He's a good God. So why is there evil in the world? And even more for Armenian people, I'm thinking, I walk into the church, there's two statements that you hear. Any Armenian church you go into, Armenian Orthodox Church, Sunday morning, is filled with praise around two statements. One of them is Chagahutyun Amenestun, peace unto all. Here's a group of people that has no knowledge, has never seen peace, and they offer peace. They're talking about peace. And the other one is Christos Astvatsmer. Yes, the Christian church believes Christ is God. We actually, in Armenian church, pronounce it. Our prayers are Christ our God. Christ our God. The incarnation of God. There it is. I wanted to find out why. After going through some of the most horrific events in human history, why would we as Armenians still have faith and belief in this God? I mean, I'm not talking about war. I'm talking about genocide. You in Glendale know every April 24th, they parade up and down Brand Boulevard with flags and sometimes ad nauseum. They'll put it in your face that today we remember genocide. It's 100 years ago, they tried to annihilate every Armenian. The Turkish official made a statement, there will be one Armenian and we'll put that Armenian in a museum for the world to know what an Armenian was. And against those odds, we somehow survived. So I wanted to know, with all of this going on and seeing these horrific acts and that touched every Armenian, by the way, every Armenian's been touched by that because Armenians wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this genocide that threw us out of the country. I wanted to know, how can we justify a good God? And then an answer came to me. 2006, my professor from USC, Dr. Don Miller, called me up. I had done my thesis with him, and the thesis was about the problem of evil, and he said, I'm going to Rwanda with a group of educators. Would you like to go with us? There was seven of us going. I said, absolutely. Because in my head, I said, I'd never be able to get to Armenia 10 years after the genocide. What would I find in Armenia in 1925? I might be able to go to Rwanda and find it 10 years after their genocide. So we get on this plane, seven educators from USC, myself, we're on a plane, 23 and a half hours, we're traveling, we get to Rwanda, which has just faced the genocide a decade earlier, and now they're trying to rebuild, and what do we find? The first thing that they tell us, get into the car, we're taking you, we're waiting for the word hotel, we're waiting for the word restaurant. 23 hours, we've been in flight from London to Nairobi, Nairobi to Kigali. Where do they take us? The Genocide Museum. Why? Because that's what's important to them. It just happened. Now here I am, this American kid walking through the Genocide Museum. And I'm filled up with all these stories that my grandparents had told us. And I'm reading on the walls testimonies from genocide survivors, from people who have documented. There are pictures of young children, Rwandans, and they are telling their story. And every story I'm reading is an exact carbon copy of what happened to my grandparents. In the middle of the night, they'd come, they'd round up the men, they'd take them off and kill them. They'd rape the women in front of their children, and then they'd kill them. And then the children they'd round up, either they'd get killed or taken away. And I'm reading these stories one after another, and I'm realizing that at that moment, I've turned colorblind. Because the only difference between them and me is the color of our skin, and I didn't see it. I'm reading my stories, and I'm crying like a baby. And then this is one of those moments that changed my life. a docent, one of the young ladies working there, she comes up to me and she taps me on the shoulder. And in Rwanda, they speak their language as well as French. So she came and rattled off. She saw that I wasn't Rwandan. She rattled off in French, and I went back to high school French, and I said, "No parlez-vous français?" And she looked at me, and she goes, "Oh, you're American." And I go, "Yeah." And she said, "Why are you so troubled? What's wrong? Can I help?" And I said, "I'm reading these stories, and I'm realizing that these stories are my stories." I said, "My grandparents were genocide survivors." And then she asked me this question that changed my life forever and made me realize that I have a mission out here. Because here I am, with one foot in the first genocide of the 20th century and one foot in the last genocide of the 20th century, and she asked me this question, "Which genocide?" Can you imagine? You mean there's more than one? It's not a unique, it's not a singular event. And then it occurs to you, from Armenia, we go to Nazi Germany, we go to Cambodia, we go to Ethiopia, we go to Bosnia, we go to Rwanda, and now today in the 21st century, we're still talking about genocide in Africa, whether it's Darfur or in the Congo. You want an argument against evolution? There it is. We're not evolving, folks. Because we're fighting fire with more fire. And Jesus Christ comes and says, "Here's a weapon," and we're saying, "That's very nice, keep Jesus, and we'll wind you up on Sundays or Saturdays, but we're not going to bring you to the field. We're not going to experiment with that weapon that you've given." And so this lady asks me, and there I am looking at all the genocides of the 20th century, and realize that where are we? What are we doing? And the next few days were interesting. We go by the River Nile, right through Rwanda. They told me that they call this the Red Nile, because during the genocide, it was filled with bodies. In Armenia, we have the Euphrates going through it. During the genocide, we called it the Red Euphrates, because it was filled with bodies and blood. The similarities were so incredible until on one of the days, I realized that I hadn't seen any gray-haired people. Well, why? Because they were killed. The only people that I'm seeing are the kids that have now grown up. They're 15, 16 years old. And I meet one 19-year-old girl who's talking. And she gets up and she says a story about her siblings. The oldest, she's the oldest sibling, and she has to take care of her four sisters and two brothers. And I just broke down at that point, because that's my grandmother. She had two sisters, she was the oldest sibling, two brothers, and four sisters that she had to take care of and get them through the desert to Syria to bring them to a life. Some of them died, some of them perished. And this Rwandan lady that I was looking at, I was colorblind, I was outside of time, because I was meeting my grandmother 100 years later. There she was. And I realized that, you know, we do not have a right to make these divisions because of colors, skin color, because of where we are all one, and we better get it, our act together. Because this is continuing. And it was at that moment that I met a man named Ben Kayumba. Ben Kayumba watched his mother get raped during the genocide. He's driving a van some 7-8 years later. And he says, "I'm driving down the road and I see the guy." See, because in Rwanda, they had to go back. Now, unlike the Armenians, where we were exiled from our own homeland, they had to live with the perpetrators. So you have to live with the people who tried to kill you. So he says, "I see the guy who raped my mother." And he says, "I'm in my van and I put my foot on the accelerator. I'm going to go down and I'm going to kill him," which is a reaction we all have. Any one of us would have done it. We all are understanding of that. He says, "I get up and my van is going," and he says, "Just before I was going to hit him, he says, "I had to slam on the brakes and I came out of the van and I started crying on the floor, and I realized that the only way that I could go forward was to forgive this man." I'm going, "Forgive? How do you forgive?" He says, I had no other choice. If I was going to make it, if I was going to survive, I was going to have to forgive. And then I remembered the words of someone that we don't listen to too often, right? How many times should I forgive? 7 times. 7 times 70. 7 times 77. Well, let me figure it out. 539. You try to cross me on the 540th time, I'll show you. No, it's unconditional. Can we do that? That's the God love. That's the commandment. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. You know how he's going to forgive me? If I forgive others, as I forgive those who trespass against me. And I learned that lesson, that if I'm going to make it in this life, and we're going to make it, we have to come down to these common denominator expressions. And this is where I come to you with the prophetic timeline from the ancient world. I want to share with you that in the ancient world, there was a reality, and God was a reality. God was real. His words were real. We forgave. God existed in the eternal present. In every Armenian church you walk into, high above the altar, there is a symbol. It is the 7th letter of the Armenian alphabet. It is the verb to be in the present tense. It is the name of God, the I am, the in Armenian, E. God is. Not was, not will be, is. And that is the only moment that we can live in. This is the message that comes to us. And so when we read today, which I want to thank my son for coming out and doing. I was inspired by the imam last week who brought his son. I said, okay, I could do that. I want to thank my son, Varujan, for coming and reading in Armenian, and Pastor Todd for reading in English this incredible story that Jesus throws out at us about the kingdom of heaven looking like this, 10 bridegrooms. He talks about foolish people. And you can read this and you could say, oh, there it is. There's the final judgment. There is God saying that some of you are going to be excluded. No. The idea of this parable is one. It's about preparedness. Living right now, right this moment, in the present, being prepared right now. The second coming, Jesus says, awake therefore, for no one knows the day nor time. It's going to come. Get with the program. We believe it. We believe in a second coming. It's going to come. It has nothing to do with your calculations, because I'm sometimes amazed at the way we look at those calculators and we say, well, you know, in Revelations it says this. Like, you're going to tell God that he wanted to do it today. You're going to say, well, wait a minute. No, my calculation was a few weeks later. Forget it, folks. You can't do it. But what you can do is you can be prepared always. And to prepare for that event is something that we learn through the Armenian church on Advent Sunday. On Advent Sunday, we look at the second coming of Christ in this manner. You open up the scriptures for that day. It is not a scripture about second coming. You'd be interested. And this is what I meant by saying a timeline, a prophetic timeline from the ancient world. Since apostolic times, the gospel reading for the Sunday of Advent comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22. In it, the Pharisees got together and they're going to trick Jesus. They're going to say, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus is going to pull out a commandment. He's going to say, the greatest commandment is don't hate. He's going to say, don't kill. He's going to say, don't lie. He's going to pick out one of them. And Jesus brings it right on the table and he says, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second one is just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, everything is built upon. Second coming, it just clicked. That's why I called this sequencing. We got to get the sequence in order. You can't have a resurrection without a crucifixion. You can't have a second coming without a first coming. We're not listening to the first coming. You want to be prepared for the second coming? You listen to what he says at the first coming. Love, without exclusions. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. If you do that, trust me, second coming comes today, comes in 100 years, comes in 1,000 years. You're not concerned, because you're concerned about loving, about sharing. And this is where we have the greatest tool. As Christians, we have this beautiful thing that Jesus leaves us, his body, he says, the church. And here we have the opportunity. I applaud you in your openness as a church, as a community, in your ability to bring people together. The philosophy that you've taken on, it's not a big deal. It's a very interesting and simple one. Love one another. Love God by loving one another. And the mission statement of our church is specific. Jesus, after his baptism, after his 40 days of seclusion, comes into the temple. He opens up the scriptures as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, and he says it so beautifully. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And here it comes. If we are the body of Christ, if this is Jesus' mission, this is our mission. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Tell me, what does this world need right now? For us to be preaching the good news that poor, you do not have to worry, because there's something greater. There's your brothers and sisters who are reaching out to you. We're walking in your shoes. We're helping out. You're not different. We are colored blind. We are embracing you. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Look at the world. Intolerance, misunderstanding break so many hearts. Are we there to heal? He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Ooh, those captives, those poor people in jail. How about the poor people walking on Brand Boulevard, convinced that the dollar is going to save them? We know the value of a buck, he tells me. So does a prostitute. So does the drug dealer. Don't fool yourselves. They all know the value of a buck. That's not a big deal. Do you know the value that God has placed in you as his creation? Jesus says to bring recovery of sight to the blind. People, we're blind. We have eyeballs, but we don't see. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It's all there. That's our mission statement. As Christians, you want to be ready for the second coming. You take to heart what Jesus said at the first coming. You make it a reality. You make his church his body here on earth, the hands, the feet, and you're on that track. You're doing it. This church, this community of believers in what you're doing. And it's never enough. It's always a little bit more that we have to push ourselves. And that's okay, because you're given a few years. Might as well exhaust yourself. Neil Young says, it's better to burn out than it is to rust. And I live by that. You don't want to rust. Burn out. Give. The more you give, the more God blesses. And I'm convinced of that. Our hope and our salvation is from God. I believe that only God can save us. And this is why when I appeal to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I understand him as God, as the only one who can save. In Jesus, we see the totally evolved man. We see what humanity should be. We see a Savior, incarnate God. We see love incarnate. So, I kind of tricked you. I said sequencing, timetable, ancient world. I used some cool words to get our attention, but it comes down to something very simple that Jesus didn't need to trick us with. It was just very common sense. You want to love God up above, you need to love one another. Can we do that? I think we can. Let God be God. Let us be the people of God to do the work in the here and now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Father Vasquez, for those words. Words that we can apply for each one of our lives. We talk about being prepared for the second coming. We need to study the first coming and the message of Jesus There's no better way to do that. And we thank you for reminding us of that. And it's wonderful to see how we can have a common goal, a shared goal as Christians. This is really what Christianity is all about. This is what faith is all about, is how we treat each other, how we care for the least among us. And thank you for reminding us again of that mission. We appreciate that. And God bless you in your work as you do that.
With today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you, our listeners, for all of your support, your love, your comments, and especially your prayers. They go a long way. And trust me, I've been asking you for the last several weeks for extra prayers. We've been needing them. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff that's been unraveling. I'm sharing some of it with you. Some of it's going to be coming, but I really, really can use those prayers, not only for myself, but for the entire ministry, which really... many times it like lies on a string, they call it, you know. I think there's an expression like that. It hangs on a string. Sometimes it's very, very thin like that, a very thin string. Anyway, those prayers, I guess, make that string into a rope. And we don't want to hang on a rope either. You get the idea, okay? Just stronger and tougher. Join us next week. Next week, we're going to be broadcasting some stuff from Armenia, going to be sharing some insights about Armenia, going to be sharing some good news coming to you from Armenia, and looking forward to that. But in the meantime, I thank you for joining us today, and do follow us and connect with us at inhisshoes.org, as well as all the usual social media outlets, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or just all over the place. And of course, you can always reach us at feedback@epostle.net. I want to thank you for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed the show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of our technical director, Ken, producer, Susie, this is Father Vazquez inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.